Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Braving the holiday crowds at parties and malls can also mean you're braving germs. Be sure to have the Exergen Temporal Scanner at home to make sure you avoided getting a cold or the flu.
So I always have big plans to start my shopping early. Then life gets in the way. But thanks to thecompanystore.com, I always get the gifts right. They make great homemade gifts that are perfect for everyone in my family. And if you know my family, that's a gift in itself.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting the comforts of home for over 100 years. From cozy pajamas and mittens to home decor and more. Visit TheCompanyStore.com and enter the code ELF by December 21st for guaranteed Christmas delivery plus free shipping.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or application firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
The following paid program is furnished by Service Matters. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business and Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Join them this hour to talk about local, regional, and global service and the great work performed by service organizations throughout Southern New England. They'll feature guests from Scouts to Lions to church groups to veterans and more. If you're interested in giving back, paying it forward, or meeting folks who do, you've come to the right place. Service Matters, brought to you by Navigant Credit Union, celebrating a century, looking forward to the next 100. Now, here's your hosts, Rotarians Dave Clifton and Rona Mann.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to another edition of Service Matters. Yes, we're live here on AM 790 WPRV. We are indeed a Cumulus station. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann. Can you believe it's December, Dave?
December 1st. Unbelievable. And we'll be with you folks today from 3 to 4 p.m. It's a beautiful day out, I got to say that, for this time of the year.
We've had some very good weather. It's been a great fall.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was wonderful. My husband and I volunteered at Christ Episcopal Church in Westerly. We've been doing that close to 20 years. They put on a wonderful community meal, and a couple of hundred people come. We have takeouts. We have people to drive the food for the shut-ins, and it just is wonderful.
I think it's terrific during that particular holiday, and I hope that people do it all year. They step up to the plate. They give above and beyond.
Well, they stepped up to about 78 plates at your house, right?
It's amazing how people come together, and they care, obviously, and they share. Today, we're going to be talking about youth sports, and that's always been part of my life and part of my kids' life when we're going to school. And also now it's time for grandchildren. But the fact is there are many questions that I've asked myself. And one question certainly is, do kids have fun playing youth sports? I've always asked that question. Do volunteer coaches, in most cases it's parents, do they know what their role and responsibilities are? Do some parents cross the line in a youth sports program?
I've talked to coaches. I know we had a Pee Wee League football coach talk to our Rotary Club, and he said the kids are fine. It's the parents that are hard to coach.
And I think those are questions that we're going to talk about today, and I do ask that question. Sometimes I try to come up with the answers. Are youth sports good for kids? What do they learn from participating in a youth sports program? Well, in many cases, they learn teamwork. They learn how to get along with each other. They get some exercise. They learn about competition. How about sportsmanship? They develop skills. There's also some discipline involved with it. But are parents reliving their lives thinking that their son is going to go from a second grade program right on to the pros.
It doesn't happen too often.
There are not that many that make their high school team. There's less that make their college team.
Dave, you just mentioned a word, though. I think you're talking about all the things that kids learn in youth sports, and you said sportsmanship. And I was thinking the sportsmanship they learn when they play soccer or football or basketball, that's fine. Then on Sunday, they put the TV on and they see the big guys and their version of sportsmanship, and it isn't always the same.
You're right. And of course, they become role models, and I think the professional athletes got to understand that. We're going to have some folks we hope will call in today to talk about some of these questions that need to be answered. But we also have a gentleman here in the studio. His name is Greg Garofalo. He's from Easton, Massachusetts. He is a volunteer coach. He's serves on a board in his community, and he happens to be from Easton, Massachusetts, as I mentioned. He coaches girls soccer. We already have a telephone caller on the line, and I'm going to ask Greg to hold off because I know this guy's traveling right now, and his name is Richard
Cugini,
and I know that I call him Dick. He's a friend. He's from Natick, Massachusetts. He's a retired Parks and Recreation director, and he's calling in because he's certainly very much interested in this topic. He lives in Natick, Mass, and some people call it the home of Doug Flutie. Dick, thank you for joining us here on AM 790.
Welcome.
Yep. Well, hi, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you, and we want to pick on some of your expertise because of the fact that we're talking today about youth sports. You know, youth sports provides a lot of good opportunities for young people. Maybe you can share your perspective.
Well, youth sports definitely gives youth a wonderful opportunity to partake in a number of different sports. And I think, as we all know, the program has to be well-designed. But you really need the volunteer coaches along with supervision to make everything work out well and be worthwhile for the athletes and even for the parents. So I've always felt that a successful program is one that their goals and objectives and what they're trying to achieve need to be defined so that the coaches know. But at the same time, the coaches always need training and reinforcement.
That's a key word, Dick. No doubt about it. Training is so important with volunteer coaches. And recreation departments seem to step up to the plate to do that.
They do. And I think in a lot of cities and towns, I see the recreation departments talking to the youth sports organizations and board of directors about this. In some cases, recreation departments run some of these youth sports. But in a lot of cases, not necessarily run by a park and rec,
true,
but is, you know, but work closely with that youth sports organization. And I think my biggest thing is that I think if you want to, as you look at all the sports in your town that come through youth sports, you do need to have it so that that the goal, well, the goals and objectives are pointed out to the coaches, but the coaches are helped with what is a good coach. What do you need to consider to do? Not worried about the sport at first, but to be a good coach and do the right thing for the kids. What are the key elements? And then the second part, going through the sport-specific items in their particular sport. And then lastly, following up with them during the season if they need any help or you need any feedback so they can be successful. And I think when you see the better youth sports programs have those elements in their training programs.
And I know that a lot of folks would like to give the youth sports program back to the kids. And parents, of course, we can't run it, Dick, unless we have the support of parents. But I think training is a key.
And absolutely. And we need also, obviously, the help of the volunteers. They are critical. And volunteers really make such a difference. The impression a coach has, a youth coach, on a child and a kid. And they'd be shocked down the road if they've done a nice job that kid comes up to them and says, you're such and such, and they're doing this 20 years down the road, and they say hi to them, and they let them know how much they appreciate it.
Dick, how do you go about getting those volunteers in your programs?
Well, in ours, we really look for people that we know that have been in youth sports, that are good people, that they really care about the kids. And that, you know, ideally, it's great if they can coach multiple sports. But the people that run a lot of youth sports, or even ourselves being a park and recreation director, you know some of those key people. And then, two, you need to advertise saying you're looking for coaches, and then you need to sit down and go through the training program with them. And I think a lot of people, they get why they're volunteering to do youth sports. They like the sport. They like kids. And, you know, to some people, when you sit down and talk to them, you get nervous. You think, oh, I don't know if they really got the best intentions of the kids in here. So sometimes you have to have that discussion and explain to them, most of the times these kids, it's an introductory program.
Dick, we have in studio with us Greg Garofolo, who is a youth coach. And you can talk to each other, Greg. I'm wondering if you're agreeing with the comments, if you want to throw something in.
Thank you, Rona. Actually, I am. I think Dick's hit it right on the head, and not necessarily to toot one's own horn as a volunteer. I think it's ultimately important. And it's not just the volunteer coach that makes it happen. It's everything that goes behind the scenes that makes it easy for the kids to get on the field, right? So it's the folks that get up at 6 a.m. to line the fields. It's the folks that organize the registration to make everything happen so that the kids can get there. It's the folks who fundraise so the kids who can't afford to play can play. And the coach obviously has a huge impact on that.
Your reaction, Dick?
Greg is right on the button. I think that it's a big undertaking in any one of these youth sports programs, having an organization that tells those things and makes it happen. And the ones that do really well, they tend to be the better youth sports programs.
Dick, I promised you I wouldn't keep you too long because I know you're visiting with your family. And I appreciate you calling in. You are what we consider one of our experts out there, a retired Parks and Recreation guy who I look forward to seeing on the 13th.
Very good, Dave. Thank you. You're more than welcome, and have a good day.
Enjoy Happy holiday, holiday to you.
Same to all of you. Take care.
That's Dick Cugini. Dick is from Natick, Massachusetts. He's a retired Parks and Recreation director. Spent some time at Framingham State College, very much involved in sports for young people. And he happens to know exactly the important thing, and he mentioned it today, training, how important it is to train the volunteer coach.
You got to train the parents, too, I'm sure.
Are the parents in most cases.
In talking with Greg Garofolo, who's our in-studio guest, before we went on the air, he was talking about, unfortunately, sometimes today you've got families that are split, things are going on, and when you send an email, you said sometimes you've got to send 6 emails to get one response.
Mm-hmm.
You want to comment on that, Greg?
Sure. Well, I think one of the key things is as a coach or as an organizer is to clearly communicate what's happening, when it's happening, and what the expectations are, especially before a season starts and practice times and all of that. And what we found is that there's always going to be, every parent is got a different situation happening. And some of them, it may be, if you don't send them a text, they don't read it. If you send them an email, they only want emails. Some people only want a specialized app for themselves, or they want surveys. Ultimately, we end up having to communicate the same thing in 3 or 4 different media.
That's a tremendous amount of work for you.
It is. And now, luckily, there's some applications out there that help us do that, so you don't have to manage it all through your Google account. But it can be daunting, especially trying to get everybody on the same page.
It certainly takes a lot of organization to coordinate youth sports programs. And, folks, you got to know that there's thousands and thousands of youngsters involved in programs. As a matter of fact, there's hundreds and hundreds of volunteer coaches that are assuming the responsibility of leading their teams. There could be 1,000 youngsters just in a soccer program.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even mentioning all the other sports, but a tremendous amount of kids who are involved. And coaches are not all trained. They certainly have to be, and they come from all walks of life.
Greg, do you find kids that are there because they want to be there, or are there some kids there because their parents want them to play?
Yes. So
in other words, both.
So it's both, right? There's always be an interesting mix of those who really are there. They love the sport. They excel at it. There's those that are there because their friends are there. And there are those that are there because their parents signed them up for it. And when you get into more competitive aspects of a particular sport, maybe that last part drops a little bit. But then again, maybe their parents really want them to be the competitive player in there more than they do. So I think it's pretty much a mix of those three things.
So you got to be even more than a coach. You got to be a little bit of a psychologist and do a whole lot of things.
And none of us have, or very few of us have degrees in child psychology or adult psych. So we have to kind of learn our way through it.
Let's talk about competition, Greg. I know you're from the town of Easton, Massachusetts. And sometimes there are communities that start the competition at very early grade levels. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this?
Well, it all depends on the sport and what you're looking to do with it. But ultimately, you want it to be age appropriate, and that's something we can go in a little bit more detail. But what you really are trying to do in any one of these sports is give the kids the time with the sport themselves so they can learn their confidence and be creative. Competition comes in later.
Okay, we are going to break. We will be back with our guest, Greg Garofolo. We will be talking to other people on the phone. Be part of the conversation. Call in and stay with us.
And our number is 437-5000, or if you're calling outside, call us at 1-888-345-0790. Hurry back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com. Do you only have one pair of glasses? You need multiple pairs of glasses for all the different things you do. You change your shoes to be activity appropriate. You should change your eyeglasses too. And wouldn't it be fun if they even matched your moods? Visit Rhode Island on Frenchtown Road in North Kingstown for the perfect frame to suit your different looks and needs. Rhode Island has frames for all the things you do, and they accept FSA cards and most insurances too. Log on to RhodeIsland.com, the perfect frame for your face and budget.
I was recently laid off. Bills started to pile up, and we had to make a tough choice, heat or eat.
For years, the Good Neighbor Energy Fund has responded by providing energy assistance to local households.
Thanks to the fund, my family got through a tough time.
If your household is having trouble paying the heating bills, please contact a CAP agency, call United Way 211, or visit RhodeIslandGoodNeighbor.org. Ad sponsored by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the invisible fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
This is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Selling custom nose rings, crocheted bunnies, and hand-carved Santas is energy-intensive stuff. Just ask Etsy, the go-to marketplace for crafts that doubled its electricity use in 2 years to feed power-sucking data centers that keep the $2.8 billion a year business running. It's one of the many technology giants, including Amazon and Google, demanding cheaper and cleaner electricity as their data demands grow. That hunger for power has set Silicon Valley on a collision course with the Trump administration, which is working up a plan to keep coal plants afloat by raising electricity prices. As a rare source of demand growth, tech firms have become formidable advocates for clean energy. They've contracted enough renewable energy to displace at least 12 coal generators, and some are paying millions to sever ties with utilities and find their own supply. Lucas Perrin, an IHS market analyst, says big tech companies aren't afraid to throw their weight around with local utilities to get what they want. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Life happens. With ADT, you can feel safe with an ADT starter kit professionally installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value installed for just $49.
Requires 36-month monitoring contract QSP and EasyPay activation. Early term fees may apply. Certain marks excluded. License available at ADT.com, Florida EF001121, Louisiana F1639.
You lost?
Yes! Medicare is such a maze!
United Healthcare can help!
Is that why you're driving this bulldozer?
Hop in! Choosing a plan doesn't have to be complicated. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
That was easy.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at UHCMedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Yes, we're back. You have the telephone numbers, folks. Give us a call here if you want to join in on the conversation. We're talking about youth sports today. And we're talking about whether or not young kids are having fun playing youth sports. We also have talked about the role and responsibilities of volunteer coaches. And we'd like to get some more feedback. We have a gentleman in our studio, Greg Garofolo. We heard from a retired recreation and parks director from the town of Natick, Massachusetts. Some people think they should call it Doug Flutie. Community. But the fact is, we have on our telephone line right now a gentleman. He happens to be an attorney. His name is Paul Izzo. He's from Sharon, Massachusetts. He is in charge or the coordinator of youth basketball in that community. He understands the importance of youth sports for kids. Paul, thank you for joining us here on AM 790.
Welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you finding some time for us, and I know this is a subject that probably is important to you as well as us here at the studio. But are kids having fun playing youth sports, and do you think that sports provide good opportunities for young people regardless of what sport we're talking about?
Well, Dave, I do think that kids are still having fun playing youth sports. I see it every year with our rec basketball program. New kids come into the program that have very little experience, and by the end of the year, they're making baskets and cheering on their teammates and having a great experience. I do recognize and observe, however, that there does seem to be an increasing trend in many sports to specialization at the youth level. Young people playing sports year-round, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be. To the exclusion of other sports. I mean, back in your day and my day, we played whatever the season was. That's becoming increasingly rare, particularly with young people who seem to have, you know, some superior ability. So while on the one hand, I think parents are still encouraging their kids to get out and play youth sports, I do think there's a danger in the specialization because I think it's taking some of the fun out of it for some of the kids.
Are they thinking of possible scholarships down the road? Are they thinking about a player, their son or daughter specializing? Certainly, I've said to many people before, when you leave the second grade program, you're not going to get a contract with the Celtics.
That's right.
Have to compete. There's not that many that make their high school team. Out of 100 kids, maybe under 10 make their high school team, and it's less in college. And guess what? There may not be anybody in the entire program for a few years that even gets an opportunity to get a tryout in the professional ranks.
Well, I think that one of the things that's driving it is that parents are under the increasing impression that their child's ability to land an acceptance letter at an elite university may h- hinge in part on their participation in a sport. So I know, for example, in the case of my daughter, who was a very good swimmer, she, you know, colleges were interested in that, and they wanted to talk to her about that. And I think that a lot of parents are influenced by that opportunity. It still is a long shot, however, and I think to deprive your children of the opportunity to play a lot of different sports and just have fun on the off chance that it might help them 10, 12 years down the road is unfortunate. But I don't want it to sound all doom and gloom. I do think there's still a lot of fun out there in youth sports, whether it's baseball. And we have new sports that are increasingly popular, like lacrosse. More and more young people are playing that, and more girls are playing field hockey. I think it's terrific, and again, it's not all doom and gloom. I just think it's something that we all as parents have to be on the lookout for.
Paul, well said. I know Greg Garofalo has a question he'd like to ask you, or maybe a comment.
Yeah, I think the topic of specialization is actually very appropriate to talk about, because on one hand, I think it's not necessarily what an outsider would think is it's a focus on a professional contract or a collegiate piece. I think part of a lot of folks feel the pressure to just do it just to keep up. So you see these kids in these specialized programs, when they specialize in a sport like soccer, they feel like if they don't play it year-round, then they won't be able to play. And that's why you're seeing a lot of kids self-select themselves out earlier of some of these sports, is that they don't realize that in fourth grade, you're not going to be a good baseball player. But they go out there and they try. They're not as good as some of the gifted athletes or the kids whose dad has tossed them a ball for, you know, since they were old enough to hold a bat. And they feel like they're behind and they just quit. And I think that's one of the bigger challenges. That's a big part of it, too, is that everyone's looking for their one sport rather than all of them. And
I think you and Paul agree with each other. Paul, your comment on the importance of training for volunteer coaches, and some of them, for some of them, believe it or not, it's win at all cost.
Yeah, well, I have two minds on that. On the one hand, I think that it's important that any organized program have some kind of training for youth coaches, whether it be to give recommended drills, to provide some rules or pamphlets. With the internet nowadays, you can direct youth coaches to YouTube videos. There's so much more now than there even was, say, 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. It's just every year it increases exponentially. I think the downside of making a point of emphasis on that is that you run the risk of scaring people off. I know that in our rec basketball program, all the coaches are volunteer, and one of the things I hear from a lot of dads and moms is, well, I don't really know the sport. I'm not, you know, I'm a Celtics fan, but I couldn't tell you how to teach kids. And so I think there's a danger in overemphasizing that, because, you know, in some cases we just really need somebody to be there and to be a good mentor and teach teamwork and make sure that playing time is equal. So while I certainly agree that training is a big part of it, I also am sensitive to the fact that some people just, that's just not their thing. And in all of youth sports, we need a lot of people. In Little League, you need two, if not three, dads or moms for every team. And rec basketball, you like to have two on every team. So I would say to any mom or dad that's listening, if you're interested in a sport, don't be scared off if you don't know it. It doesn't take a lot of time to get up to speed to the level that you need at that.
But they do have to make a time commitment to be there, to be at practices, correct?
That's right. That's right. And that's why we like to have two, if not three, parents or high school students assigned to each team, because people have business obligations and family things come up. But it's, you know, it's hard. People are busy. And one thing I'm noticing, Dave, I don't know if your other in-studio guests are seeing this, but young people are busier than ever. I mean, they go to math tutors. They go to second language training. They have church obligations. It seems like, I mean, when I was a kid, I pretty much ran out every night till the streetlights came on. That was what I did.
But as a matter of fact, I used to shovel snow just to clear the area so I could play basketball.
You're still shoveling, Dave.
yeah, shoveling all right. I did that many times, Dave, and I used to run inside and put the basketball under the hot water, which would inflate it from within. So when the whole Deflategate thing happened, it was no surprise to me, because I can tell you that balls deflate in cold weather, but that's a different subject. But no, it's there's a lot of issues, fascinating issues around youth sports. I mean, we have child obesity, which is a real problem in this country. Kids are not nearly as active as they need to be. And rec programs and even, you know, more sophisticated AAU programs play a big part in helping combat that.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much, Paul Izzo from Sharon, Massachusetts, for giving us your feedback. And certainly the comments that you made certainly put this in the right perspective, how important youth sports are for kids. And at the same time, parents, and in most cases, are the coaches, and they need to know what their role and responsibilities are. And a little bit of training goes a long way, and I think it's so important that we provide that opportunity. Thank you so much, Paul Izzo.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks to everybody in the studio.
Thanks, Paul.
I appreciate the chance to be on.
And we'll see you in the gymnasium.
Absolutely. Take care.
On the line right now, we've got the man who pays the bills. He's very busy today. We got an email from him, but he's made some time for us. Tim Draper from the Navigan Credit Union. Hi.
How could I miss talking to you guys? That would just be awful.
Well, we're happy to have you call, and today we're talking about youth sports, and I assume that you played youth sports yourself.
I did. I played baseball. Soccer wasn't really that big back then when I was playing, but, you know, baseball and I liked track. I did a lot of track, although you look at me now and you would wonder how in the world that is the case. But
no, I can understand that being the case because I see you run around the credit union getting things done, so you've had a lot of practice.
What's new at Navigant?
I'm running away from people.
What's going on at Navigant, Tim?
Hey, you know what? We got a big deal coming up on Monday, and I'm really excited to say it. We are opening up our Warwick and our
East Greenwich
new locations.
Wonderful.
For the first time to the general public.
So both locations, both branches open on the same day?
Both locations open same day, simultaneously. 2300 New London Turnpike in East Greenwich. It's in the Coventry Crossings Plaza. And then we have one at 2100 Warwick Avenue in Warwick, which is over by Bishop Hendrickson behind the airport.
So terrific.
Excellent.
We are super
locations.
Excited about that. We want everybody to come down and meet the team. Say hello. It's a soft opening. I'm not going to do any major marketing yet. We'll wait till the first of the year for that. No shrimp platter yet, okay. Rona. Don't worry about it. I'll have shrimp for when you get here in a couple of weeks. So.
Well, Rona and I are looking forward to being at the corporate office on the 15th. We're going to broadcast live right from the Navigant Credit Union. We're excited about that.
The only bad news I have for you that day is I don't think Gary's going to be.
Ah, that's too bad.
I know.
But you're going to be there.
We had something come up. So.
And we've got the Cumberland High School chorus coming, and we've got Major Stoops from the Salvation Army coming. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be a good broadcast. It always is every year. It's always fun having you guys in.
And, Tim, tell your boss that he could probably call in.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. You know, maybe I'll have him do it on one of these Fridays.
That'll be terrific.
Very good.
You know, you don't need to hear my voice. You can hear his.
Have a wonderful weekend, and good luck on Monday. That sounds like fun.
Thanks. Stop by, everybody, Warwick and East Greenwich.
Okay, take care.
Tim Draper, keep tracking.
So, you know, one of the interesting things that is kind of a bit of a follow-up from what Paul had said, when we talk about training, it's not what you would think initially as a parent or an outsider of what you want to train your coaches on the technique, though the technical skills are important. What I found to be really valuable as a parent volunteer was the stuff that U.S. Soccer and U.S. Softball had put together about where kids are in their own development. So what was really interesting is that they've done lots of studies that no youth program can as a town that says, hey, look, this is where a fifth and sixth grader really should be physically versus where they should be mentally. And this is how you should design your sessions. You shouldn't be running them like high school kids because most of us, our last experience as playing a sport was either at the high school or college level. You know, 10-year-olds can't run like that, or maybe they can. But so with a lot of it's where
they also don't have an attention span that goes as long.
Exactly. So actually, that's one of the changes. Even in youth soccer, they had a kind of a prescribed way of saying, hey, we want to build up with a small-sided game, and then you warm up, then a small-sided game, and then expand the small-sided game, and then play the big game. Now it is just let them play. Let them play for the first 10 or 15 minutes of a practice, then do a technical session, and then play again. because they're really there to have time on the ball. And it's the same experience all the way through.
You're right, Greg, and I'm a very strong believer in the basic fundamentals at the lower grade levels. Yes, as they climb the ladder to the other grades, I think it can be reviewed. But teaching the young basketball players in the first and second grade level, third grade level, teaching them how to do the basic fundamentals, how to walk before you run, how to dribble, how to use both hands, how to use the backboard, how to hold the ball, how not to trip over the lines, and it's only painted lines, because I've seen some kids fall down four or five times until you bring it to their attention.
The basics.
Yeah.
The basic fundamentals. And treat them all the same. Teach them how to get along with each other. Teach them the importance of respect.
Well, and I think that's the basics are a key part of it. But one of the other things that kind of complement that well is our understanding as a coach that every kid isn't necessarily going to be the same. So some of them are going to have ADD. Some of them are going to have to get their motor running before they're paying attention. Some of them are very silent but listen all the time. Others are talking all the time and are listening.
And you have to recognize those youngsters that may have learning disabilities and treat them all in a manner that they'll all feel like they're part of this.
Right. And so as a coach, you've got, like my girls' team, I've got 17 kids with 17 different ways of learning, and you have to find kind of the common ground, if you will, in a common language to kind of get them to do what you would like them to do.
Greg, do you get phone calls or texts or emails from parents saying, why don't you play my daughter more? Or why didn't she do this? Do they bug you a lot? Do you have to do a kind of a fine balance there?
You're going to hate my answer, but the answer is no.
I'm not going to hate your answer.
So what do we do with us is, and our town program sets that expectation up front, that we have a zero tolerance policy around parents kind of talking to coaches. Now, after a game, there may be
one or two
things.
And they know this going in.
And so I send out an email at the beginning of every season, be it softball or baseball or soccer, and say, look, if you want to talk about the game, call me at least 24 hours afterwards. Right after a game, whether it's a hard-fought game, win or lose, the last time to talk to a coach is as I'm walking off the field when I'm trying to talk to the kids. And also, while we're on that topic, don't talk to your son or daughter on the way home about the game other than saying, I really enjoyed watching you play. Because they're replaying it all in their head, the mistakes they've made, the successes they've had. Focus on the positive stuff. Don't be a driving coach at the same time.
The National Youth Sports Coaches Association, they provide videos for training sessions for volunteer coaches and youth sports programs. And they provide an opportunity for you to see the things that coaches shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of those videos. It shows a coach in a baseball game, a fly ball to center field, a center fielder drops the ball, the coach takes him out of the game and scolds him for missing the ball.
Wow.
It shows a coach running up and down the sidelines at a basketball game, behind the bench, screaming and yelling at the official who also was a volunteer.
Now, wait a minute. How is that different from what I see in college basketball?
Well, the difference is they're not getting paid.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. But, I mean, you know, a lot of them, they want to emulate that. And, you know, I'm thinking the Raleigh Massiminos, the Jim Boeheims, the, you know, all these people, Coach K, that's what they do. They run up and down and scream.
So one of the things I do is I try to focus on the positive, only because, and it's tough when you have 11 kids on the field at the same time, but you want to accentuate the things that you see.
That's what this show is all about, called Service Matters.
Yeah. You really want to highlight what a kid does well, and you want to encourage them. And every kid on that field wants to, or on that court wants to hear their name, right? So if they're a role player, they're not the best player, you want to let them know that you appreciate their effort. And so what may be outstanding for one player may be average for your star player, but you still got to reward everybody out there and how they play together as a team. And I think that's the big difference out there is that as a coach, when I'm out there, the time to really course correct any kind of tactic or technique isn't in the middle of a game. That's what practice is for. In a game, it's like, let's have fun. It's moving people back and forth, changing maybe a little bit of the strategy. But for the most part, they're putting into practice everything that you've taught them. And the key thing is play with a lot of energy, play with pride, play with confidence, ideally some creativity out there. and have fun. It's always having
fun. You use that word a lot, and you've used it off the air, and I think that's a great thing to teach kids, fun first.
Well, and
if it's too much like work or too stressful, they're not going to want to do it.
And chances are, on the other side of the sidelines, away from the coach, they're hearing the direction from their parents anyway. So they want them to hear my voice saying, hey, that was outstanding. And you'll hear me even say positive things about the other team. If the goaltender makes a great save or if the pitcher makes a really nasty pitch, I'm like, wow, that was a real, you know, because look, they're going to hear it from the competition too. So if they look at their opposing teams and that they're all serious and focusing on their technique and trying to correct them all the time, then that changes and ratchets up the stress too.
Are there some sports where they don't keep score?
Well,
at the lower grade levels?
Yeah, so in soccer is a great example. They're always going to keep score in terms of where, you know, how many goals are scored, but they're not going to keep standings about who wins or loses. And so you'll see with youth soccer, United States Soccer actually came out and said that their recommendation is that there are no standings kept for 12 and under. So that's fifth and sixth graders. Now, in our local soccer league, they want to do that. But 10 and under, there's no standing. So you can go out there, win 10-0 or win 1-0 or lose 10-0. It won't matter at the end of the day, other than you have a whole bunch of learning moments.
Do the kids feel bad when they lose? Do you have to console them?
Absolutely. They feel bad if they win and they do poorly. I mean, yes, they do it. The reality is these kids are going to go home and play video games or going to be told things by an older sibling or their parents.
And an hour later, they're on to something else.
Correct. But so they do care about the score. But ultimately, when you think about soccer, what they really want to do is be involved in scoring, right? So that's why it's important. Yeah. So at a young age that you do a 2v2, a 2v2, or a 4v4, where everyone gets a chance to try and score.
Trying to teach a youngster how to accept a loss, I think, is important as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Before we take our next break, we want to thank Len Cermonte from Payden Associates in East Greenwich for our Service Matters pens that we give to every single guest. And Dave is holding it up because he doesn't know this is radio. But we do thank you very much, Payden Associates, for branding and marketing. You want to call Len at Payden Associates. Time for a break, Dave.
Turn around. You're going to see the camera, and it's not candid camera. We'll be right back after this message.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Braving the holiday crowds at parties and malls can also mean you're braving germs. Be sure to have the Exergen Temporal Scanner at home to make sure you avoided getting a cold or the flu.
So I always have big plans to start my shopping early. Then life gets in the way. But thanks to thecompanystore.com, I always get the gifts right. They make great homemade gifts that are perfect for everyone in my family. And if you know my family, that's a gift in itself.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting the comforts of home for over 100 years. From cozy pajamas and mittens to home decor and more. Visit TheCompanyStore.com and enter the code ELF by December 21st for guaranteed Christmas delivery plus free shipping.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or application firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
With the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr. An Argentinian accountant has described how he handled the payment of millions of dollars in bribes to former South American soccer officials, including a former FIFA vice president, by using wire transfers, offshore accounts, and money couriers. Eladio Rodriguez testified in New York in the corruption trial of the former soccer heads of Paraguay, Peru, and Brazil. His sports marketing company made the payments to obtain the rights to broadcast tournaments and matches. Churchill Downs Incorporated announced it has signed a deal to sell its mobile gaming subsidiary, Big Fish Games, to Aristocrat Technologies. It's an all-cash deal worth $990 million. Churchill Downs Incorporated CEO Bill Carstensen says we will refocus our strategy on core assets and capabilities, including growing the Kentucky Derby, expanding the casino segment, and maximizing our thoroughbred racing operations. With the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr.
I'm not much of a dancer. Never have been. Not at weddings, not at concerts, not even when my favorite song is on the radio. But there's something about seeing exactly what I ordered arrive at my facility's door the day after I ordered it. That gets my foot a-tapping. That's why I love Grainger. With 99% of in-stock items shipping the same day they're ordered, they get us what we need when we need it. Which means we keep moving and I keep grooving. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. for the ones who get it done.
Life happens. With ADT, you can feel safe with an ADT starter kit professionally installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value installed for just $49.
Requires 36-month monitoring contract, QSP, and EasyPay activation. Early term fees may apply. Certain marks excluded. License available at ADT.com, Florida EF001121, ZF1639.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back once again to our final segment of Service Matters. Certainly our apologies for some technical difficulties when we went on a commercial break.
Yeah, little gremlins in the system.
But we're talking about youth sports today and how important they are to young people. I know that before we go back into some concerns that we have about youth sports, whether it be concussions or what have you, in competitive sports, I'm going to pass it over to Rona, and she has something important to share with us.
Yes, we had a couple of months ago, we had the people from Trinity Repertory Company here, along with Joe Wilson Jr., who said he was going to be Ebenezer Scrooge in this year's production of A Christmas Carol. And I had the opportunity and the pleasure to see that performance on Wednesday night. And I want to give you a little review and a commercial to them because it fits in with what we do here at Service Matters. First of all, it's the 40th year for Trinity doing this. It has never been the same show twice. If you're expecting a traditional Christmas carol, forget it. This is not your father's Christmas carol. This is directed by the husband and wife team of Stephen Thorne and Angela Brazil, who are members of the acting company. Joe Wilson Jr. absolutely invests himself thoroughly in this character. And you, in the audience, you cannot sit back and be a spectator. You are part of it. There's very little set. It's all the action is happening around you. Joe Wilson is Scrooge, is growling at audience members at first. Then he transitions into tap dancing. He becomes a joyous fool at the end. Another outstanding performance was Orlando Hernandez as the Ghost of Christmas Present, who burst right through the set on a zip line. That's how he made his entrance. Thoroughly professional cast, loaded with children. They have two children's casts who alternate. The special effects are astounding. They have floorboards that bang and flying beds, confetti flying from the ceiling, music. You are definitely part of the action. And most important, Dave, to Service Matters is that they have 18 different nonprofit organizations from the community. Each one comes in and sings. They dress them in the clothing. They are part of the show. The night I was there, there were women there from SOAR, S-O-A-R, Sisters Overcoming Abusive Relationships. They also have the Boys and Girls Club from a couple of towns. They have Progreso Latino. They have the Providence Veterans Administration, the Festival Ballet, and lots more. And at the end of the show, they collect money for the Rhode Island Food Bank, the people that were here 2 weeks ago.
That's terrific.
So it's a very positive experience. If you've seen it before, you've never seen it like this, take your family. It's a wonderful show. There wasn't anybody that walked out that wasn't smiling ear to ear.
That was a terrific review. Greg, let's get back to the youth sports and let's talk briefly about some of the concerns that parents have in contact sports.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Pop Warner football. Maybe it's youth hockey, where there's a lot of possibilities of concussions. That seems to be the talk of the town right now. People are concerned about head injuries. They hear it. They see it in the pros, the college level, the high school level. I know they're working hard in developing helmets that players can wear that might protect them. Your thoughts?
So I think there's a couple of things. Concussions are always on the they've always been a concern as long as I've been involved with youth sports. I think they're just a lot more prominent now that people are becoming aware of the long-term impact that concussions had. I had plenty of concussions. I hate to say it as a soccer player and a rugby player in college. I guess now I have to be a little bit more mindful of where I'm heading. I think it's a concern for parents, definitely in contact sports, but also the non-contact sports like soccer, where girls, the incidence of girls having concussions is pretty high. It's almost as high as males playing football.
Really?
Yes. There was actually on NPR earlier today a program on that alone. I think there's also a concern of overuse. And so I think this is one of the things that's really coming in, and we're seeing it younger and younger. Kids who play a lot of sports year-round are starting to get injured more. You're seeing a lot more ACL injuries in kids playing soccer. You're seeing a lot more your knee injuries. You're seeing a lot more ankle injuries, chronic ankle injuries. They're happening because kids are just playing so much sports. And so I think there's as much as there are concern about concussions, and I think there are some deep concerns in some of those sports that are contact, there's definitely some overuse concerns.
Also,
well,
the bodies are growing, and correct, they're not that developed.
Correct. So like my daughter who plays soccer had a broken finger as a goalie. And the key concern that was is actually, you know, is she still growing in the growth plates and how everything sets? And you wouldn't think that she wouldn't be allowed to play soccer, a sport you use with your feet, but she wasn't supposed to play for a month with her finger, and it just was weird kind of
thing. How did she feel about that? Was it, when she first got injured, was it a badge of honor to be injured? Oh, wow, I've got a sports injury. And then did she get upset that she couldn't play for a month?
I think she was upset. Then it was the badge of honor. Then she kind of liked the fact that she could have her hand wrapped like a club when she was out there.
And she felt better after the coach
attention
took them out for ice cream.
That happened. That happened immediately. But I think for parents, I think there's a lot of different concerns, and for coaches as well. I think the key thing is not just the concussion piece of it, though. It's really being mindful of what's too much. And then that's the nice thing about some of the training that's available to coaches in almost every sport is when's the right time to have intense training versus not so intense training. So, for instance, if you have a game on a Saturday, your Monday practice shouldn't be a long, drawn-out, ragged practice. Kids need time to recover. Your hard practice, which shouldn't happen before Wednesday. And so there's a science behind this that these sports that we're representing as youth coaches have done the studies to say this is the best time to have those kind of intense practices. I think the other part about ultimately what parents are really concerned about, injuries and other things are a part of it, is how well is the coach translating what's happening on the field or on the court to life lessons. Everybody wants to have competitive sports, even on the competitive teams that I coach, but they also want to make sure that the kids are grounded as best as they can. Even the most competitive parent wants their kid to be humble or to kind of understand what their role is on the team.
Good point.
So I think ultimately, while kids are having fun playing a sport because sports are fun, winning is fun, growing is fun, doing really cool things with a ball is fun, but they also want to be able to translate that. How do they put that into their own lives? And for some kids, playing a sport is a respite from what may be happening at home or in troubles that they're having at school.
Where is youth sports heading? Are we going to a good place? Is it getting better? What do you see? Because you're seeing it from two standpoints.
Yeah.
You're a coach and you're a father of kids who are involved.
That's a great question. I think it's exciting and it's daunting at the same time. I think in one hand, I think there's an incredible amount of opportunities, as your guests have talked about, with new sports coming on, whether it's lacrosse, field hockey. Kids can find a sport and enjoy playing it. But I think that's also what's scary is it's becoming a business. Everything is becoming a big business.
Yeah.
Sports is a business. And with that,
so that's trickled down from the pros.
Well, it's not even it's grown into its own industry. And what's happening is it comes at a cost. And my fear is that there's kids out there whose families can't afford it, that they're not playing a sport because they can't afford to play. And and sports like hockey and football cost a lot to get equipment. But even getting ice time or indoor training time for soccer or any of these things, it really gets to be prohibitive when you look at the training courses that they could be taking or playing in those rec leagues. It can cost a lot of money for parents to get their kids on the field.
Greg, I want to thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. Certainly a thank you to Paul Izzo, Tim Draper, Richard Cugini. We had an opportunity to talk about youth sports and the role that volunteer coaches, including parents, play in a youth sports program. That's going to wrap it up, I guess, for today's show called Service Matters. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann, and next week we have Wreaths Across America.
And we bid you farewell from our studios here in East Providence. Go forth to serve. Do it with a smile on your face. And do it with the dignity that it deserves. Youth sports involves teamwork, competition, exercise, hopefully sportsmanship. They get a chance to develop their skills, discipline, and most important of all, they should have fun. Good evening.
With the Bloomberg Business of Sports Report, I'm Michael Barr. An Argentinian accountant has described how he handled the payment.